you, but he also expects you to grow up in him. My grandbaby is right here. He is gnawing on his thumb, and his face is buried into his mom. And now he's looking this way. He's still gnawing on that thumb, ain't you, son? Can I tell y'all how cute that is right now? Emphasis right now. Let it go on for a year. Let it go on 2 years. It ain't even cute. Let it go on 20 years. There's some stuff that's been going on in the lives of the body of Christ that's been going on for years. Should have got past that a long time ago. It ain't cute no more. Oh, man.
It's true.
Man, y'all better put hard hats on. There's so many nuggets dropping in this place. Somebody's going to get hurt. I don't want to be cute in front of God anyway. I want to be growing up in him. I want to grow in wisdom and stature. I want my life to look like there's some redemption that's going on in my life. That the stuff that I went through had a purpose.
Amen.
How many of you have gone through some stuff that someday you want to look back and say, oh, that's why? I don't want to be everybody's example, and I don't want to be your example for everything. But I'm not just going to lay down in my mistake and die. There are fruit trees, there are vines that grow, and there's certain fruits that if you don't pluck them off the vine, they die still attached to the vine. I don't want to be that. I want my life to mean something to somebody. I want when somebody thought about me, they thought he put something into my life. Don't die on the vine. You are connected this morning. Look at the person beside him and say, I'm connected. I'm at the right place today. I am at the right place right now. I want you to be bold enough right now to do something. Trust the person beside you. Take the hand of somebody beside you right now. Just take the hand. Just let some trust be in the room right now. And if you need prayer, we usually say this. Lay hands on somebody, pray for them. Hold hands with somebody, pray for the person beside you. I want to do it different. I want you to pray for you right now. I want to pray for me right now. And I'm going to lead it. And you can hear this prayer and go with it, or you can pray yourself. But right now, Father, in Jesus' name, God, I remind myself of who I am in you. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, I'm yours. And since you saved me, I know according to your word, since I've been saved, no man can pluck me out of your hand. God, help me to remember that because I am yours, that your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
Why would mercy need to tag along if I'm never going to need it?
Yes, Jesus.
Why would I walk everywhere I go with your goodness right there beside me, but also your mercy? It's you. It's a picture of you. You're right there all the time, in the good and in the bad. In the good, you're there to keep pushing me on because it's easy for me to take steps ahead in the good. But in the bad, there comes your mercy right there beside me to pick me up and help me re-identify and destroy the lie of the enemy that I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. You are. So my identity is found in the fact that you did it all, you paid it all, and you did it for me. And you saw value in me. And You saw a place you could live, like somebody driving around house hunting. You saw this tent. You saw this temple. You saw this body, and you said, I can live there. The enemy wants to put a label on it that says it's condemned, where no one can live there. But that's not what you say, God. You say, I can live there. So right now, the door's wide open, and the invitation has not left that says, God, live inside of me. Live inside of me. This is your house. This is a place for you to live, and help me to keep it swept clean every day, God. For your presence that wants to dwell there. Because I am what you say I am. And I know the scripture that says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Heal my mind, God. Let me think right. Let me believe right. Let my mind be renewed right now so that I can prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now pray for the person beside you. Pray encouragement over them. Lord, I believe that you've already spoke to my brother this morning. I believe that you are working on him, because every one of us in this room is a work in progress. Progress, God. We're not stuck. We're not stuck. God, I believe that what you do, most of your work, you do on me in private, not in public. But you do it in private so that I can go public. And God, if I've gone public in some wrong ways, take me back to that place of privacy and intimacy just between you and me, where you teach me what to do, what to say, how to act, how to be, where to walk, when to be quiet, when to be still. You're working on me, God. I say work, God. Do the work. I know me. I know I need work. Work on all of us, God. It's time for us to come out. It's time for us to manifest what's inside of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe your spirit is waiting on it, God. For your sons, for your daughters to be revealed in this earth, it's about time for us to go public. We've been hidden a long time. We've been planted a long time. So long it felt like we were buried. But we're not buried, because your seed is alive and well inside of us. And it's going to burst forth, and we're going to become the planting of the Lord and the potential of the seed that's in us is going to be realized in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, this is sweet right now, isn't it? You can sit down if you need to be seated right now. It's okay. How about we just give the Lord a minute right now? I've been talking a little while, and I believe I've been saying what he wanted me to say. But just let's just be real still for a minute. And see if God would say anything else to us right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side. You feel it? Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Yes.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down. Has anybody felt that one? Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Just this morning, the Lord started speaking to me about that treasure right there in earthen vessels. I've preached that a lot of different ways, and the Lord gave me just a different way. And I remember we in the church, we used to have these columns, ceramic columns. You could put anything on them, or you could let them sit by themselves. There was a time when that was like kind of cool, like get some columns in the church. But I remember I moved one time, and I just moved it about like you'd pick up a chair and sit down. It wasn't with any force. I wasn't mad, nothing. I just moved it a little bit and set it down, and all of a sudden the whole thing went whoosh. And broke. And I thought of that when I read this scripture. And God gave me a thought. Because we're always saying, who are the broken? Let the broken come so God can heal you. But I believe He put a treasure in an earthen vessel, so it'd be easy to break it. So it'd be easy to get to the treasure. So you could never say, the treasure is something I got. Don't you wish you had it? That all somebody have to do is bump into you with just a little bit more than what's normal, and you break, and what's inside of you comes out. You see that? The treasure in you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got a treasure in you. There's a treasure in you. And as it goes with treasures from the childhood, I used to dig up my dad's backyard, believing at some point I was going to find a treasure. I believed it. I believed it was going to be in this wooden box. It was going to have a big lock on it, and I was going to stick my shovel down sometime here, tink. And I was going to dig, and there it is. And I'm going to get it all dug out, and I'm going to take a hammer or something and bust that lock off of it. And when I open it up, it's going to be full of gold coins. And we're going to be able to buy all the candy in the whole world. Now that I know we'd take some of it and pay bills, we'd still buy all the candy in the whole world. Amen. Me and Scott get that. We get that. It's all candy. You know the four food groups. You know. Some of us know the four food groups. Some of us, you know what they taught you in school. But the truth is, most of the time, the treasure that you got, you didn't realize it was a treasure until after it happened. And before you realize it's a treasure, you hold it in suspicion for a while. And you question it before God. And you say, God, why did this happen to me? See, it's not the kind of treasure that you can dig up and everybody can recognize it's a treasure. See, that's the treasure that everybody wants, but there's a treasure that comes from God that you only get through discovery. It still comes through discovery. You ready yet?
He's put me on the spot. This morning we were on our way to church, and I was just telling him, we just briefly mentioned this about treasure, and I was telling him so many times in our lives when God comes, we get confused when he's searching for treasure. We get confused when we feel the scoop go into our soul, and when we feel the upheaval in what was nice and pleasant and just calm on the surface. When the upheaval starts to come, we misinterpret that. And we become troubled by that. And God just began to show me, when you feel that kind of chaos stirring, why do you always go to something's wrong? There's nothing wrong. I'm trying to till up the ground to get to the treasure that's inside of you. And I have to make you uncomfortable, and I have to kind of shake your foundation a little bit. But I'm not doing it to test you. I'm doing it to dig out the treasure, because it's not on the outside. It's not what's visible to everyone else. There's a treasure inside of you. And everybody thinks when we say that we mean a public stage where you're speaking to thousands. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Do you know the small percentage of people that experience that? And that is not God's destiny for all of us. In fact, a very small portion of people are called to that kind of stage. But every one of us has a treasure inside of us that the world needs broken open. And we can't be afraid when God comes through circumstances that are troublesome, are annoying, and even absolutely heartbreakingly devastating. We cannot be afraid when that soil begins to become unearthed around us, because out of that, if we will allow God, he will bring forth that treasure. We cannot look at it as if we're being buried. We have to look at it as if God is searching for that treasure. And I will tell you this, we all want a God that does the unexplainable, right? We love to pray, and we love for him to do the unexplainable, to be a God of miracles where people can point to something and say, nobody could do that except for God. I can't understand that except for God. But I want to challenge you, in these times when God does the unexplainable and you're asking him why is this going on? Why the upheaval? Why? He's still the God of the unexplainable. Even when it doesn't seem to be to your benefit, if you just don't bail, I promise you he will bring forth treasure out of the worst parts of your life, out of the best parts of your life. Because sometimes, amen, that's the hardest time to hear God, is when it's all going cool, when it's all going great, and then he comes with the bulldozer, and those teeth come into our soil, and we're like, whoa, wait a minute. I was doing great. And he's like, yeah, you are. It's time for an upgrade. It's time to unearth something else that I've planted inside of you that the world needs. So I just want to tell you this morning, as the body of Christ, don't give up. Don't cave under the pressure. When you feel it coming, when you feel the upheaval, if you have felt that in the last 6 months, would you raise your hand in here? If you have felt an upheaval, if you have felt the stirring, if you have felt your soil being disturbed, stop assigning it to the enemy. Unless there's sin involved, it's not the enemy. If there's sin involved, then you need to deal with that. But if it's just this stuff going on in your, chances are it's God trying to uncover your treasure. Let him do it. Let him do it. And when he does the unexplainable that is seemingly not to your benefit or that you can't understand, trust him. Trust him that in the end, there is something down there that he is going to bring forth for his glory. Does that help you today? Does that give you some purpose to focus on that God has a treasure in each of us? And in many treasures, I believe, that he will refine us if we allow. He's not a bully. We have to allow our hearts to be open to him. We have to allow his Holy Spirit bulldozer to come in and kind of turn things upside down and not freak out, but trust that he's got us. Amen. Amen.
In order for God to cultivate our soil, cultivate just simply means to turn over. You ever go by a freshly plowed field and the dirt looks so rich, it looks like anything could grow there. Well, if you went there before it was plowed, everything would look dead. You got to turn that thing over, and all of a sudden, sometimes all you need in your life is a good turnover. I ain't talking about apple turnover, Scott. I'm talking about just because you need that all the time. You need to start your day off with that. But turnover. I say that because this, we've not yet learned to run into the storm. We like the still waters that he leads us beside. But if I remember it correctly, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. So the journey goes on.
Yes.
Do you know what the reward of your last battle was? Do you know what the reward of your last storm was? Do you know what the reward of your last storm is? It's the best way to say it. The reward of your last storm is your next storm. That might be bad news for somebody, but if you view that the right way, it's really good news, and you'll learn to run towards your storm because God taught you something out of that storm that you could never learn. Do you know how much David needed Goliath? David didn't do too good until he had a Goliath in his life. You let David get idle, he didn't do so good. But you give him something to fight. David was a fighter. You give him something to fight, he did well. I said this a few weeks ago. When you realize what the spoils are, never fight a battle where there are no spoils. No spoils, that's not my battle. That's a waste of time. That's a distraction. Because there should be something that I get every time that I fought. Otherwise, you've just wasted time, energy, and resources. Now, I don't want to just stand here and talk like a psychologist. I want you to understand what I'm saying. There's a purpose in everything that the believer goes through. And when I come out of one thing, I should be better on the other side. When I said the reward of your storm, your last storm is the next storm, just look in the Bible what happened. Jesus told Peter in the storm to come to me. In the storm. He didn't still the waters and then say come. He said come to me in the storm. Do you remember the man by the pool of Bethesda? He was paralyzed. And the angel of the Lord would come and trouble the water. And when the angel troubled the water, people would get into the pool and they would come out healed. But this man was paralyzed and he had no one to get him into the pool. So when, by the time he could get there, the water had settled down. What do we do as believers now? When we see the stormy waters, we get scared. But I want to tell you this. When the waters are troubled, it's not time to run for cover. When the waters are troubled, it's time to get in the water. Some of you are already in and you just didn't realize that you're in a better place than you thought you were. Can you just say that right now? We're talking about rediscovering my identity a few minutes ago. I'm in a better place right now than I realize. If you can't see any way out, I have somebody who's over me in the Lord who told me about something that they were going through that was so bad that they were trusting in someone that was over them in the Lord. And they went to them and they told them, I'm going through this. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything I can do and I don't know what to do. And the man that was over him said this, and it changed his life. And hearing about it changed my life. He said, I just got through telling this man, spilling my guts, telling him everything, being completely transparent with him, telling him how bad my life was, how I had done everything I knew how to do. I'd exhausted all my means, and I don't know what to do. And he said, that man started laughing at me. It's the last thing you want to hear from somebody that's over you. You tell them all your problems, and they start laughing at you. And he said, I thought, you know, I wanted to pick up something and hit him. He said, then he followed it with some words. He said, my friend, you've been reduced to trusting only in God. Amen. He could only laugh about it because he had been there himself. You're in a storm. You're probably in a better position than you realize. I'm coming out. You're coming out. You're coming out. And your reward, now, if you get this picture, if you come out of a battle, I know you need a reprieve. I know you need strength for the journey ahead. I know that you need rest. But get ready. It's not over. Jesus did say, in this life, you will have birthday parties, raises, accolades, trouble. Choose D. That's the one he said you would have. You'll have all of the above, but you will have trouble. You get saved. You don't get exempt from trouble. You realize where the trouble's coming from. The sooner you recognize that, the sooner your relief comes. Oh, this is an attack of the enemy. Hey, everything's not an attack of the enemy. Some of it's a result of what you did by yourself. You got to recognize that too. And there's grace for that. And that's what I talked about. Mercy. It's right there. Goodness and mercy there to pick me up when I fall on this journey, right? Aren't you thankful for that? I ask you to stand back up one more time. I believe what we've talked about is helped some people. But I believe for some people, it's peeled a scab back. You see something that is hurting you. Sometimes the first thing the truth can do is offend you. You don't believe it. I was sitting beside my wife one time in an event, and I was looking all good, and she was looking good. We looked like somebody. She always looked like somebody, but I looked like somebody that got to sit by her. And I whispered something to her, and she was like, oh, my gosh, your breath. And I was like, That wasn't what I wanted to hear. But it was the truth. See what I'm saying? Sometimes the first thing the truth does is hurts. But the end result is everybody can be blessed, right? Yes. Somebody say hallelujah for mints. We keep a jar of them around here. You ever been praying for somebody that's about to knock you out with their breath and you were just asking God for some deliverance from that person that's praying for me? And like, God, you chose the person with the worst breath in the building to come pray over me. And they're feeling it right now because they're passionate. It's a just saying, we've had some church experiences sometimes. I've lived a lot of life, and a lot of it's been in church. How'd I get into that? If God used what I said to peel a scab back on you, then understand this. There's healing that He wants to give you for that place. He's not a masochist. He does not enjoy seeing you in pain. He would only peel it back so He can put His salve there. And if you got a revelation out of what was said already today and said, hey, that's going to help me, well, praise God for that. But understand, goodness and mercy is walking beside each one of us right now. So whatever place you're at right now, I want you to begin to thank God. We're not going to ask Him for anything until we've thanked Him, because scripturally speaking, we're supposed to, as believers, thank Him first, because He's the only one that can, and He's the only one that can and will. So if we thank Him, once we get the revelation, we start learning how to praise Him even before we ask for anything. So can we just begin by thanking Him right now? God, thank You. Thank You that You're the answer, that You're the great physician. Thank You that I don't have to explain it to You because You were already there. Thank You because You know it exactly as it happened. And even if I have been swayed and persuaded by things that aren't true, and it was just the way that I saw it, God, You still saw it all. You still know it all. So I trust You, God. Let all of my questions move to a place of trust right now. God, I thank You because I can trust You in everything and in anything. I trust You. So God, we're dealing with open wounds right now. So I'm going to ask You for something special, Lord. I'm going to pray for yeses in this room. I'm going to pray for Your answer of yes to the issue. And I'm going to believe You for a yes. But I'm going to trust You, God, if it's a no that comes from You. Because Your no's are just as valuable as Your yeses when You are my guide. God, help us see. We may have been praying for something that was a yes in our life, and You've been saying no. It's You that's saying no. God, help us to be open. Can you just say, God, open me up to what You're wanting to do, Lord. God, if there's resistance from me getting to that place, let me not be the one that's in the way, God. Move me out of the way, God. Move my mind out of the way. Take what I want out of the equation, God. Let's go with Your will, Lord. Not my will, but Your will be done. God, help me to trust You on that level. What my wife just spoke about. We can't always explain You, Lord. And though we want an explanation, let us experience You right now. Let us experience You. Let us experience. If it's a no that we need to experience it from You, let us experience a no. But either way, God, if it's a yes that You have for us, I believe it's coming. Yes. And we accept all things. We know that all things work together for those that love the Lord and all that are called according to His purpose. So according to Your purposes, God, let it be done in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you look like you feel better. And tell them this, say, I knew it was going to help you today. I already had it, but I knew it was going to help you. I like being silly sometimes. We're going to worship with our giving right now. We're going to take time and do that. And guess what? That's it. That's all. Y'all got that? I'm ready to eat chicken now. Look on your face. And I'm not going to disappoint. We're going to worship with our giving right now. And then we're going to move the building into a place where we can all dine together. So if someone will go ahead and bring the lights up, we appreciate that. Mickey's got the RV outside. Mickey, say something about that.
First, we're going to do it today and then in July again. Yeah. I wanted to thank this amazing church. This is our family. I wanted to thank Christine and Pastor John, because without the generosity of them, without the heart that they have for God, and without your guys' generosity, this dream, long-time dream, would not be possible. Okay, this I wanted to give them a hand because they are amazing leaders. And they make this possible. With your permission, we're going to do the cutting of the ribbons, and we want you guys to basically be one of the ones to cut the ribbons. And then we have a group of people that I would like to include to be part of the cutting of the ribbons. I want to call Chuck and Susan. Just join me here. Cindy. Cindy's here.